The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Chinese scientists are on the way to solving the most difficult problem in robotics, making a moving five-fingered hand. But why is creating robotic hands so challenging, and why do Chinese tech experts want to do it? Joining me to tell me more is Elaine Burke, host of For Tech's Sake podcast. Hello, Elaine.
Hi, how you doing?
So this is the thing, is it, that there is a big sort of race on to solve?
So it's just that it's a really challenging problem. And if you're in robotics in China, there's some companies that are specializing in this. There's over a million robotics companies already based in China, and a sliver of those are focused just on developing these robotic hands. And some of them are developing them with the aim of making better prosthetics for people, and some of them will be doing it for, say, the idea of having industrial robots that can do more things that are more dexterous, or even domestic robots that might be able
to. This is what I want now.
Yeah, to fold your laundry,
washing up, doing the cooking. Cutting hair, I saw, was one of the things that they hope that these robotic hands might be able to do.
Really difficult. I mean, even people who, you know, are using their hands day to day would be pretty clumsy if it comes to cutting someone's hair. So you can imagine the kind of dexterity you need there.
Who's going to be the first person to allow the robot hands to cut their hair?
But even washing the dishes. So you kind of forget like how sophisticated we as human beings are in the kind of dexterous manipulation that we can do. So if you're washing dishes, you might have a big heavy pot and you might have a very delicate wine glass, and you would handle them both very differently. And you need to recognize that and do that. And then if it's things like cooking, the way you pick up a frying pan versus the way you pick up an egg that you're about to crack into that frying pan would be very different. And doing that requires not just the ability to, you know, hold and handle these things differently, but to recognize what they are so that you do hold and handle them differently. So there's an element of, if you want this vision of this Jetson's life where we all have a domestic robot doing the chores for us and stuff like that, that requires an incredible amount of sophisticated computation, because you'd need an element of kind of computer vision. So that's when a system has a camera attached to it that can see the live environment, but also analyze and interpret what's in that live environment as well.
So even Elon Musk, because his company Tesla, they make a humanoid, don't they? Robot.
Yeah. Now, some of their demonstrations of the humanoid robot, one time it was a man in a suit. One time it was robots that were being teleoperated by people remotely. This is the thing about humanoid robots. They are really attractive for media coverage, and they capture media attention. They capture the public attention because we there's a reason why science fiction is kind of obsessed with robots as well. We like this idea of this like forward progress of technology giving us an automaton human.
But you're very skeptical about what they can actually do.
Not just what they can actually do, it's just how useful it is to build something like that. So to have something that walks around in a bipedal format on two legs, it would require a lot of energy just to have it standing up. Whereas if you just took away the legs and put something on wheels, that makes a lot more functional sense. It's a lot more energy efficient.
Doesn't look as good though. We're not as interested in it.
Doesn't get as much attention. Yeah. So, and you even see like there was a lot of attention earlier this year around the Lunar New Year in China, when they had this demonstration of these quite small, nearly child-sized humanoid robots doing this martial arts dancing display. And it looked crazy impressive. But that's also them doing a choreographed sequence of movements in a highly controlled setting, which is very different to them being out and about in the world, able to do anything. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for something to be general purpose, that's where programmatic design and things like that becomes complicated.
But you could ask that type of a robot to do a repetitive task in a warehouse.
That's the thing. Where robotics are essentially working really well is in, say, assembly lines in factories and things like that. But you'll see that they're highly specialised to do one function.
And they're programmed to do that one thing and nothing else.
Like even in Amazon warehouses, there's like the robots that are kind of bringing products from one part of this massive warehouse to another. They are on wheels because that's what makes sense for moving fluidly through these channels. And they should also be in controlled environments because, you know, a lot of the times these things are a lot of metal and batteries and things like that. They're heavy and maybe not, in terms of health and safety, the best co-workers to have in your environment if they're going to be zip-zooming in and around you. So there's that aspect of it as well.
But the reason I mentioned Elon Musk was that he said that the hands represent the majority of the engineering difficulty of the entire robot, if you're looking at a humanoid robot. So all of the challenges that you've mentioned, the hand seems to take precedence over all of them. It's just really difficult to do. And if you think for a moment about what your hands do in a day, you can understand that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like the human hand is an incredible feat of evolution, essentially. And to develop one that's not made out of nature would be an incredible feat of engineering, one that can do exactly what we can do. And it's like, you know, you've got the skeletal structure inside, and then you've also got a lot of sensors and things like that in terms of your nerve endings, so that you can touch things and feel things and know how much pressure to apply to things. Mm. So there's also like the way your brain operates your hand is a part of it as well. You've also got like we've got so many joints in our hand. It's quite a complex design. And if you make robotics, like each of those joints to be moved and to be articulated in a certain way, all of that will take a certain amount of energy and calculation and computation and things like that. Yeah. So they're very complex.
Pushing and pulling and fine motor skills and,
yes,
you know, all of these things, when you think about it, I'm reading Maggie O'Farrell's book Land, and coincidentally, the bit that I was on last night was a character, I hope I'm not giving too much away, a character who loses his hand going through his loss and going through everything that the hand had helped him achieve in his life and the loss that it was going to be for him in the years ahead. And it was just listening to that passage, I thought, okay, now I suppose it forces you to think about how difficult a project like this is. But it hasn't stopped them from investing an awful lot of money and time in this.
Yeah. And like I said, in China, it's big business. It's a multi-billion dollar industry there. But it's also like sometimes you have to think outside of the box with this stuff. So in terms of, say, prosthetics, so if someone had lost their hand, there are some people who think that trying to develop a motorized version of our five-fingered palm isn't actually the right way to go to make something that's usable for people. So there's some people who are developing something called soft robotics. So they'll have actuators and joints that can move and stuff inside maybe a soft, malleable surface that's more like ball shaped, and that can kind of form around an object and kind of create pressure around it and hold it in that kind of a way, so it kind of suctions around it, and that's actually more functional day to day if what you need to do to get by with a prosthetic is to grip and hold things rather than trying to program some mechanical figure to do that for you.
So perhaps what this might do, all of this research, is reduce the price of prosthetics in the first instance, perhaps?
One of the companies out of China that's doing this, Linkerbot, their goal is to try and get a hand that they can build that's cost maybe $1,000 per hand, which for the sophistication of the technology in it as a prosthetic would be an inexpensive version of it. Now, they're not quite there yet, but they're currently producing about 5,000 hands per month themselves as a company, and that's, they're only making robotic hands. They don't make anything else in terms of robotics.
So that for them is their core business, but for a lot of other businesses in this area, it's a bit of an attention grabber, is it? It's a bit of a PR exercise.
Definitely with the humanoids. And one of my favourite things is actually watching videos of those humanoids falling over and not knowing what to do with themselves. Like, it's really entertaining. So if you're ever scared of the, you know, the robots coming to take over, watch a few of those videos and you'll feel a bit better about it.
You think they're useless, don't you, the humanoids?
I think they're kind of silly. Like, you know, I think robotics is an incredible industry and it's really fascinating. But when it comes to making humanoids, like I said, it just doesn't make the most sense. And we can get lost in doing things that are inefficient when we try to make them that way. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you wanted to do things that were actually useful, there's more out of the box engineering thinking that I think makes a lot more sense there.
Elaine, thank you very much. We'll wait, perhaps not with bated breath, for the automated hand. Elaine Burke there from the podcast For Tech's Sake. We'll take a break.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.